Hi, friend, and welcome to the Fruitful Podcast, where we share stories of faith, family, and fruitfulness. I'm Sherry Lynn Roodman, or in English, Sherry Lynn Roodman, and this podcast is something really special to me. Every episode features my mom, Lynette Steyn-Lorenz, and these are her original radio interviews, especially for Just Gospel Radio. And these are heartfelt conversations filled with wisdom, hope, and reminders that faith is found in the everyday. I wanted to share them here so they could keep encouraging hearts in new seasons and new spaces. Let's listen together to one of my mom's original conversations that still speaks so deeply today.
It's an honor to have her taking a half an hour just to be with us. Merry Christmas, Lynette.
Thank you, and a Merry Christmas to you, Carlette, and to all our listeners. And today, I am thankful for technology because I am not at the radio studio. I am here at home with my family, and I just had to seclude myself in a quiet room so I can speak to the listeners as well. But if it was not for technology, I had to leave them all at home and then go to Carlette. So wonderful times we're living in.
Wonderful times indeed, Lynette. You know what? With technology, we had conversations in Angola, DRC, even in Uganda, and any other place. So we just love technology. But today, we are talking Christmas, everything Christmas.
Of course.
So how should How should a Christian celebrate Christmas? I mean, we are going to celebrate it with family. You are with your family. So how do we, as Christians, really, how should we really do this?
Yeah. Well, when I was thinking of today, I realized that today is on Christmas Day. And then what else can we talk about on Christmas Day than celebrating Christmas, of course? So that was just naturally the topic for today. And then when I was thinking about it, I thought, yeah, but this is usually a very noisy season and, you know, full of bright lights and colored lights. But besides all the hype behind it, it's also a tender season, a season where families can get together and we can just show each other, but we actually love each other and we mean a lot to each other. So it's a season of joy and family and generosity and just worshiping God for what He's done in this time. And if we look at the world out there, and I'm sure every listener can vouch for this, It can be a blur of shopping lists that needs to be done. And, oh, I haven't got a gift for this one yet. I still need to get a gift for that one. And we have to get to the whole family, you know. So many social appointments and obligations that we have to fulfill. And so many social media posts that we want to post because we want to tell the people out there we're really enjoying our festive time and we are loved and so on. So the real meaning for Christmas for Christians can just disappear between all this hype that's going on and the running around that's going on and the organizing. So the question comes to my mind is, how should we as Christians actually celebrate Christmas? Should we run around with the rest of the world trying to make it the best Christmas ever? Or should we? Is it a time that we should become quiet and just seek the real reason for Christmas? Why are we as Christians actually celebrating Christmas? And how should we celebrate Christmas to honor God and not to satisfy our own selfish needs or wants by buying presents and hoping we're going to get the best present yet and, you know, running around in this hype with the other people around the world.
You know, Lynette, what the best Christmas for me, and I'm going to be very honest with you now, a little bit vulnerable as well, is that spending it with my family, my mom Okay, we eat, but this is now confession on the table. As much as I love chocolate cake, there's one thing that we don't get it anywhere, or I don't eat it any time of the year, except on Christmas Day, okay? And that is thin roof ice cream.
Okay, but do you have your chocolate cake and ice cream, or do you substitute the chocolate cake now?
No, I substitute, I let the chocolate cake go for 2 days, and we do tin roof ice cream. Yeah. That's the only time, because this is just me, I just love it. I love tin roof ice cream for Christmas, so it's been a thing in our family ever since. Yeah. So it's sort of a tradition.
But I think eating is just so part of Christmas. If you think about Christmas, the first thing is gifts. The second thing is what we're going to eat. What's going to be the Christmas meal? That's just part of celebration. That's just the way we as humans celebrate. And that, again, brings in family time. Because families get traditions of, on Christmas Day, we do this. My daughters are busy baking pompoen cookies. Because I don't think a Christmas meal is a Christmas meal without pompoen cookies. We have to do that one.
Yeah. So, I'm getting aiming for that one.
Yeah, but at its core for Christians, Christmas is the celebrating of God entering human history, actually becoming human on earth. And the Gospel of John says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. In John 1 verse 14, He came to live within us, within our midst. The Creator actually chose to become one of the created. And Christmas is the annual remembering of that. Now, if we can have a discussion of, is the 25th of December really the birth date of Jesus, but I don't think that is really the core of it. I think we need to celebrate the birth, the becoming of part of the creation in human flesh. We have to celebrate that of Jesus. Doesn't matter when you celebrate it, you have to celebrate it. So we're taking the 25th of December. And this is a time that we can rejoice that God came near. He came, he became part of us, part of history. And besides that, He sent Jesus to walk amongst other humans and actually demonstrate to us how to be human, but also live a godly life. So we need to celebrate this because, Christmas is primary about Jesus' birth and God's presence within us. So I feel as Christians, our celebrations, if we eat tin roof ice cream or what, we choose to how to celebrate it. It should be structured to cultivate this awe, this gratitude, this honor we have, this respect we have for Jesus and for God. So it needs to be celebrated in a way that we worship Him and we honor Him. So the celebration is not just an end to itself, it's actually a means. We always say it's an end to means, but it's a means to know God more. But besides that, I think it honors God if we love others better. If we can love in a way that reflects Christ's love and His light to the world and those around us. So to me, for a Christian, celebrating Christmas is loving the ones around you and honoring God in that way.
Yeah. It's quite important to be kind, to love. I think out of the love becomes kindness, have a little bit of grace in this festive season. Because listen, this festive season can become very stressful at times. And sometimes the worst comes out of you, and it should not be like that. It should be the best needs to come out of you, like kindness and goodness and mercy and be gracious and love on people.
Yeah. And actually, it's the time that we should put personal grudges away. You know, if there was a family feud somewhere and you're angry with this one, put it away for the day and just celebrate Christmas together as a family. And how practically does a Christian family actually do this in this commercial world we're living in, of everybody buying the most expensive gifts and one trying to outdo the other? How do we as Christians actually, as a family, practically do this? And I went and I thought about this, and I came up with a few ideas. Now, I'm sure if listeners want to phone in or give us a WhatsApp, they can give us ideas on how to do it as well. But I thought of, we have to begin with worship, because Pastor Gerard, our pastor at Delta Community Church, had a sermon a few weeks ago about the awesomeness, the awe, and standing in the awe of God. You can't even put it in words on how awesome our Lord is. And then we have to start with worship. So a lot of churches frequently celebrate Advent, and that's a season of waiting and preparing for Christmas. And our one grandchild is with us at the moment, and his mommy started on the 1st of December giving him a chocolate per day, counting down the days until Christmas. And I thought, what a nice idea if you do that, but every day you unfold the message of Jesus's birth and becoming human flesh every day a little more, for these little minds to understand it. Not one thing or the whole thing in one day, but every day a little bit. So with the Advent chocolate that you're giving, the preparation for Christmas, start the Christmas story, and every day you tell a little more and ask them, but can they remember what happened yesterday? And get them to start telling the story with you, but the Christmas story in their own words. So when you do the Advent story, it's a slow unfolding of the birth of Jesus so that they can understand it. And you can color it in with hope, peace, joy, love, and just make it colorful for them. So if you've got little ones in the house, I thought, wow, what a nice way to do it. You can even maybe every day light a candle with the chocolate and start telling them the story. You can use, there's so many children's Bibles out there, but children's stories that unfold the birth of Jesus. Use that, but every day just read a little bit. Go beforehand and divide it in 25 days. So by day 25, you get to the birth of Jesus. And you unfold maybe the climax of having a baby there and showing them the baby being birthed. And maybe you can start in the beginning of December and also teach them hymns, very well-known Christian hymns about Christmas, like, for instance, Silent Night. Everybody knows Silent Night. So by the time we get to the 25th of December, they can sing Silent Night, maybe not by themselves, but they can fill in some choruses or some phrases that they caught unto. And they can be part of this worship, because it's not strange with them. You've been preparing them like the Advent since the beginning of December. I thought that was a very nice idea.
I think so too. It's that preparing and showing who Jesus is and unfolding Jesus in so many days.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, and then my thoughts went further to Father Christmas, and I may be prosecuted for this one. I don't think Father Christmas itself, the story around it, is so wrong, because I believe we need to cultivate some fantasy, some creativity in our children, but the child must understand that this is not real. This is a story. This is not real. So Father Christmas sitting in the shopping mall is an old gentleman pretending to be. It's not real. It's a story we are telling. So they must understand that. But we need to tell them that the true story is the one of Jesus Christ being born. And if you really live yourself into that story, and I think in pictures, so I love this. So if you live yourself into it and you make it real to them, there's not no more colorful, more creative story than the birth of Jesus. You can even take them to a stable and show them the animals and try to get them to understand in what circumstances Jesus was born and how much he had to sacrifice to become human flesh so that they can understand that whole concept. I think it's a wonderful way of making it real to them to understand. And just, mommy and daddy, I said just now, we need to cultivate the creativity of our children. Let's see how creative you can be in making this story real to your child so that they can understand it. Then, I don't know if you want to say something about making the birth of Jesus really creatively real to children, Carlette.
I'm also a picture person, but I would go and you know that they've got the lights, the fairy lights kind of thing, and or the I've seen out the nativity scene.
Yeah.
And, maybe be creative and search for those lights, the Christmas lights. With the nativity scene and tell the story like that, maybe in a different kind of way.
Yeah.
So that to me is also being creative in itself, because the kids see it in a creative and different way, not the same in the same old ways that they always experience.
Yeah, and parents researching on how I can make this real to my children, I've seen parents coming to the realization themselves because they have not grown up with it. They grew up with the commercial Christmas and not with the real true story. And then when they research how to make it real for my child, they realize but what the sacrifice was for God to give us his son to come live on earth between us, to save us. And so it doesn't just mean something to the children, it also means something to the parents.
And I think that is how the good news is spread, with getting that realization, this is actually what's happening as well.
Yeah.
It's real. The good news is just not the news just out there. It becomes a heart condition at the end.
Yeah.
And that, so nice. Yeah.
Okay, then I looked at practical steps just to resist falling in this trap of spending so much money and just going with the rest of the world and breaking your budget and trying to outdo the one Christmas with the next and so on. So I said, step number one will be set a budget and stick to it. Don't decide, but I'm going to spend, say, 100 rand on each person, and then you see this nice thing in the shop and it costs 150, and then you buy that one for 150, but now for everybody you have to spend 150. Just stick to your budget. Model stewardship and do not spend in excess more than you have. Let the children see that they can be planning and be accountable to that planning, and that you can show restraint and not fall into the trap of just spending and spending and spending in Christmas. Then,
it's a deep, dark trap that you can find yourself in, because remember, January is coming, and January to me feels like a whole year in one month.
My husband's got the saying that January is a very long year. Not a very long month, a very long year, because he feels the same. Okay, then when you celebrate Christmas, rather give experiences and not things. And I must be very honest. If I have to think of my childhood years, I can't remember what gift I got which year. But I can remember the special experiences we had as a family. No expensive gift can ever outdo time spend with family. So that one is important. You don't need to spend a lot of money. Rather spend the time.
I've seen, Lynette, this comes to mind with our Christmas at times. So last year I was in the dark box because I've spent my time on the street giving presents, not presents, clothes to the homeless and food. So it was quite an extensive thing that we've done from church, and I think it was like 2-3 o'clock. And but that was one year. But the previous years and this year, I said to my mom, "No, I want to be with you guys." Yes, last year we had a beautiful memory, and it will for always be treasured. But knowing that we've got a mom and dad, just to be with them, a little bit of time with them, eat our tin roof ice cream, but just the here and now, in the present time, make those memories.
And with that, I want to say, when you make memories, and Carlette just touched on it, maybe you can start a family tradition of a gift-giving rule. For every gift that you get, you must also have been giving a gift, and maybe give your gift to somebody that really needs it and does not deserve it. Can I put it like that? Don't return a gift with a gift. But give to somebody that will never be able to give to you.
Yes.
So develop that giving heart. When the Magi came and they gave Jesus gifts, they didn't know what to expect in return. They got a lot in return through his birth, but they came just to give. And we need to, in Christmas time, also have time to just give, like Carlette did last year. Just give to others that will never be able to give back to us, just out of our hearts of thankfulness for what God did for us. It's really creating so much memories with your loved ones if you can do it with them. Okay, we're running out of time, so I want to move on to a part that I feel is very precious, and that is the part of how to celebrate Christmas with age-appropriate things with each child. So I went to look at ages and what is age-appropriate for them. And I looked at my little ones. Most of them are at toddlers from 0 to 3 years. And the literature tells us that you focus on sensory experience at that stage. So I was thinking, soft carols, maybe touching things like the straw that Jesus lay in. Or maybe if you are giving gifts, let it be touch gifts. And explain to them, if you give them a soft toy, this represents softness, the softness of Jesus' heart because he loves us. Or go to Carlette's nativity scene, let them see that, but also then touch the figures and tell them what about the story behind every figure. Like, this is Jesus, the baby that was born for us. This is Mary. She was his mother. This is your mother. And make it real to them. Or maybe, and I was standing in a Christian bookshop the other day, there's actually these books with these, if you open them, the book pops up. It's got these pop-up scenes. And the nativity story was in there. But then you can show that to them as well to make it more real for them, because they can't understand abstract thoughts yet. But they understand what they see. So then preschool from 3 to 5 years, you can actually then now start to act out the nativity scene with the figures. Not just let them touch, but tell the story and act them out, and even allow the children to be part of the acting out. If there's a donkey, let them make like the donkey, or let them put Joseph and Mary next to each other looking down on Jesus, and help them to act out the story so that they can start understanding it. You can also, we talked about the Advent season where they start preparing, but every day from the beginning of December, read the Christmas story to them. And then by the 25th, they will be able to tell you parts of it so they can start giving back and you can also see what they understand. And then you can start the idea of giving without expecting anything back. And maybe let them choose a toy or maybe their favorite food and go out and give it to somebody that's not going to give anything back to them. So that they can start understanding of the idea of giving without expecting. That age can start understanding that. And then the early elementary age of 6 to 9, you can involve them in the Advent calendar, devotions with simple reflections. Let us think about this. And then you can start giving them tasks to help you prepare for Christmas. Maybe bake cookies and then have them package them very nicely, wrap them nicely, and go out and give them to people that will not be able to give back. So that idea of I am doing something, it's costing me energy, it's costing me time, but I am giving it to somebody else. Then maybe you can start as a family a new tradition and pick a charity and say at Christmas time, we will donate to this charity, even if it's tinned food that will be given out by the church later, that's fine. But you need to, in Christmas time, get them to give and not just expect to get. And that in our commercial world is a thing that we have to work on. Because the commercial world has changed to Christmas time is a time of getting presents. No, it's not. It's a time of giving. Okay, then, I want to say between the early elementary 6 to 9 years, this is the time that your child can understand abstract thoughts. So they can start understanding the idea of Jesus and God. So you can really get into the birth of Jesus and the nativity story here. They can start understanding that. And it's also the earliest times that your child can actually really commit their lives to God, because they can start understanding it. Then between the years of 10 to 12, the teens, you can encourage service projects, like they can go to a neighborhood food drive. Carlette can take the teens, 10 to 12 years, on the street where they donate clothes to the people that don't have. They actually enjoy that, doing that. But you can just start discussing the theology behind the incarnation and language that they can understand, more simple language, but they can start grasping this. And then also invite them to be part of the Christmas planning and actually doing it. Because I always say, your child feel like a guest if they're not part of it. But if they're part of your family team, they feel part of the family. So involve them. You can maybe ask them to plan themselves and act out the nativity scene. So the one child is Joseph, the other one is Mary, and they've got a baby Jesus, and ask them to act it out and be part of this and be part of the team creating Christmas. They love doing that.
It's all about the memories.
It's about the memories. And then the teens, encourage them more intellectually. Encourage them to study the scripture passages about the birth of Christ and ask them, what do they understand? What do they appreciate out of it? Encourage them to ask questions and have discussions around it. And when you have your Christmas meal and you sit around the table, have a discussion. Ask them to contribute to the discussion and what they think about it. You can also ask them to take more responsibility and have more meaningful tasks, like We want to create a memory for this Christmas. What memory would you like to create? Help us to create this memory. And then also, of course, talk to them about their faith. Because this is a very special time. You can talk about the faith and elaborate on what they are saying. So give back, reflect back what they are saying, but try to give it a more meaningful, deeper meaning, so that they can really grasp the message. And again, yeah, I've heard parents say, I had this conversation with my teen, and when they said it this way, it actually, for the first time, opened it up for me as well. So it can be really meaningful time that you can have with your family, and build on this, involving the children, involving everybody.
Wow. What can I say? I'm left with no words here because I'm already preparing memories. I wanted to do specific things today just to create those memories. But it's a family thing. If you've got children up to teenagers, you cultivate a culture that will last until when they're older and becoming adults and young adults as well. So it's up to you as a parent to start cultivating those behaviors and family dynamics, but most of all, create memories.
Yeah. Creating a time of giving in Christmas and not getting, getting, getting.
It's all about Jesus at the end of the day. Lynette, I know that you also having some festivities going on. So thank you so much for being with us on Christmas Day. And just thank the clan as well from us at Just Gospel.
I will.
Just given us 30 minutes of your time, and we appreciate you, Lynette. May this Christmas just be one of the best one with the most memories that you can possibly get today and tomorrow and Boxing Day as well. So so just say thank you to you, to your family.
Thank you, Carlette. And we've got a blended family, so we call ourselves the clan. And from the clan to the listeners out there, may you have a very blessed festive time where you really find the real meaning of Christmas and that you can build memories with your family. Love to you all from the clan.
And I'm playing Lynette out with our favorite song right here for this moment in time. It's from Hope and Harmony Group. It's called Night Has Come.
Thanks for listening to the Fruitful Podcast, originally produced for Just Gospel Radio, used with permission. You can find more at fruitfulfig.ca/links or support the work at buymeacoffee.com/fruitfulfig. And remember, every fig has a season.